Every 5 minutes, someone dies while waiting for a compatible donor heart, liver, or kidney. On a remote island in Lake Superior, a team of geneticists strive to engineer an animal with human-compatible organs, thereby saving millions of lives. But these ancestors are not the docile herd animals they envision. Instead, the project spawns something big, something evil, something hungry. Ancestor by number one New York Times bestselling novelist Scott Sigler is available for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
Hey, guys. I'm Kat.
And we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. This will be our last Monday episode before Halloween. So we're super excited to release it to you. And we have an exciting story to share from you. It's got your classic graveyard and ghouls. So, I mean, we can't get much better than that for Halloween. Our guest is Lindsay. She's a fan. Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is super fun.
And we were talking a little bit off air, like we're on the radio, before we started recording. So you found our podcast by kind of going through some other podcast. And then like when you started listening to ours, did you find like a favorite episode or favorite guest that got you into the podcast?
Actually, yeah, it was somebody's mom. Whose mom was the guest? I can't remember.
Oh, it was either Nick DeGroots or Nikki Radford.
The hospital episode?
Yes. Yeah, she was talking about the person that she was taking care of had passed away, and she was going down into the room, and she like took her down to the bathroom all the time, and then like she passed and she saw her in there and was like, "What?" And I was like, "Oh my God, like that's a great story."
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you hear somebody's mom tell that story, you're like, what the fuck?
That just makes it the best. Like, I was like, the fact that that came from someone's mom, I'm like, I'm sold.
Yeah,
that was a super spooky episode. I bet they see stuff like that all the time at hospice facilities.
Yeah, I think they probably have a lot more stories than they tell us about, I'm sure. Like, they don't want to sound like they're crazy or like they, you know, but I'm sure there's a lot more that they see that they just don't talk about.
Right, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, what did you say?
Sorry. I just had to throw in a skeptical response there. So I said maybe. I just want to make it clear that, like, you know, we're still skeptical ghost podcast. We're like ghost agnostic, but we love hearing people's experiences.
I almost feel like we need to restate that we are a podcast where we're trying to learn more about this entire world. We have not had many experiences, yes, and we're coming at it very blindly, and we are not experts. So if you're listening now and you're mad at us for not knowing what we're talking
salty
about, I'm so salty. I'm not that salty. No, I just read some of our reviews, which is great. It's great constructive criticism, but some of them are like, they don't even know what this is. And I'm like, that's the point of our podcast.
Ghosty stuff comes up in like everyday conversation all the time either. You know what I mean? Like, who's the expert? Exactly. Unless you're going around like looking for, I don't know.
Well, and if you're trying to learn about the supernatural, what is like, is there a library that you go to? Yeah. Or like, because, you know, there's lots of information, but like, how do you trust other than just, you know, for me, the most educational thing has just been like, this podcast, sitting down talking to people one-on-one, and like, you know, through rapport, you can kind of,
we're doing peer review
whether
studies,
you know, how accurate something is or not, you can tell if someone is like trustworthy and honest.
No, we did have somebody write in a review for our last episode, or not, just leave a comment on Instagram that was really funny. They were like, I love the podcast and I love that you're all believers, even you, JJ.
I was like, I resent that so much.
Well, I just realized some people probably pop in into random episodes and they're like, wait, do these guys really like run a ghost podcast and they don't even know what this means? And I just want to clarify, we are still learning.
Well, it's funny because like my husband and I, we have a parenting podcast and we are not experts at all, like ever on anything. And we always say that too. We're like, so the thing is like, we've never done this before. Like, this is just our anecdotal situational parenting. So you can take it or leave it. I don't know. Do what you want to do.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
For sure. Cool. I will say that review that Kat's referring to was still a 4-star. So we can't be too mad about it.
I know. I was like, this is like really nice, but also Four stars. Thank you. I mean, it's not, anyways, you know what I mean.
But, we love you. Keep listening to our podcast, whoever you are, four star reviewer.
Woo! I'll turn
so Lindsay, you've heard our podcast before. So where do you fall on the Believometer? Zero meaning ghosts aren't real at all, and 10 ghosts are absolutely real.
You know, I'm a solid 5 right now. I could go either way. Like, I would love to say, like, absolutely, that's awesome. But I don't know. I'm just not quite there yet. There's definitely, I think, things that happen that you can't explain. I don't necessarily think that the solution is always ghosts, but I think that there's territory to be explored. So yeah, I would say I'm a solid 5.
Well, as a 5, how do you feel when we bring on like all these mediums and psychics and stuff and you hear our experience with them? Because those are the episodes that I think push me the furthest to being a believer sometimes, and also push me the furthest from not being a believer when they go the opposite of, I guess, how I want them to go, if that makes sense. So how do you experience that as a listener?
You know, that's a really good question. I have had some experiences with psychics too, like, which again, it was like we were doing a podcast interview. And so I was kind of like, I mean, maybe it's just one of those things that some people are a little more fine-tuned. I feel like there's some people that definitely maybe have some better information, or they're more perceptive. And again, I don't know how they get that information. But then, yeah, there's definitely some where you're like, okay, like, maybe not, you know, like probably not. Maybe don't quit your day job.
Right.
Wait, did you have, you had a psychic on, or a medium on your parenting podcast?
No, I should have clarified. Sorry.
Oh, okay, no worries, no worries.
So I have 2 podcasts.
Okay.
So we have one called Parenting Versus Podcast, which is literally us talking about parenting and our kids like interrupting us every 5 minutes. And then I have another one. I'm here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so we have one called What's Up ABQ. It's my brother and I. And like, we just interview like local people and like talk to them about like, why New Mexico? Like, why are you here doing what you do? Like, what do you like about New Mexico? Because there's kind of a stigma here, like Breaking Bad is sort of a thing. And like, people are like, there's just this, I don't know, kind of left a bad taste in everybody's mouth, I guess. And so we try to find people like in the community that we can really like talk to and like interview and talk about like positive things in the community, and local businesses and stuff. And so for one of our Halloween episodes, we had like a psychic medium on because they were having this like psychic medium fair. And our friend was like, we can get you an interview with that person. And I was like, cool, let's do it. So
I've only driven through Albuquerque, but it was beautiful and amazing. I mean, New Mexico is beautiful and amazing. I was in New Mexico, but I was just going by Albuquerque. But yeah. Albuquerque definitely seems like the place that would have a psychic medium fair. I mean, that place is kind of like cool, hippie. I don't know. It was fun.
I love that you have that podcast. It's kind of like Humans of New York, but humans of Albuquerque.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I bet you get to know all types of people. So
it's been so fun.
Yeah. I didn't realize Breaking Bad was based in Albuquerque.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get that. And like Santa Fe is a real kind of like a new age hub for like hippie, like psychic, intuitive, all of that. So like a lot of that trickles down from Santa Fe too into Albuquerque. So it's kind of an interesting place. It's an interesting dynamic for sure.
Did you get any big reveals from the psychic or not reveals?
Not really. Most of the information that she had was like for my brother. It was kind of funny because we were both sitting there and it felt like it was more directly towards him. But at the same time, like he's definitely on the spectrum. He's probably like an 8 or 9. So he was just like eating it up. Like, oh yeah, that's totally accurate. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know, maybe. Like,
it's crazy. We've had several on, and one of them I would consider a friend now, Evelyn, but we had one on, gosh, I can't think of her name, but she was like real with it and like made me almost teary during the episode because she was hitting stuff so on for me that I was like, nope, never heard of it. Don't know what that is. Not ready to talk about that with strangers on a podcast. I mean, it's
Was it the one who warned me about hemorrhoids? No, not hemorrhoids.
That was April.
A hernia. No. I always get those mixed up. Yeah. They're completely different.
That was April. It was one that we found on TikTok, and she was the one that was like dispelling like fake mediums and stuff too, you know? She was great. She was a great guest. But anyway, that was just, it is just interesting the spectrum of what you get when you're kind of investigating the supernatural, you know?
Absolutely.
But anyway, I feel like I've kind of sidetracked the beginning of this. I know the story that you're here to share, but I'm curious, have you experienced anything supernatural before that event?
I did actually. And it was probably one of the only times that I would really say like, excuse me, but like, what the fuck?
I'm allowed here. Don't worry.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just, you know, you never know. It was in Georgia, which I think, are you guys, where are you?
You're in Atlanta. Georgia. Yeah.
We're in Atlanta.
Atlanta. Okay. So I was in West Georgia for a wedding, Carrollton, Noonan area.
Okay.
And then the wedding venue was in Temple, tiny little town. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Friend from college. And it was this beautiful big plantation Southern style house. And me, like, I grew up in Portland, Oregon. So like, we don't have that there. So everything is amazing all the time when you go to the South and you're from like Portland and you're just like, oh, everything is so old and like, wow, you know, because Portland's right. Just rainy and gray all the time. And like in New Mexico, everything's like adobe. So you don't get like the real big, beautiful houses.
Right.
So I'm at her wedding and I'm in the wedding and we're getting ready. And I'm like, you know, we're getting all ready upstairs. Everybody goes down because it's time for pictures. And I'm like, hold on, I'm just going to like fix something real quick. So I went into the bathroom and I hear my name. They're like, it's like Lindsay. And I'm like, what? And then I look around the corner and there's nobody there. I look down the stairs. There's nobody there. I look out the window and everybody is outside. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. You know, maybe somebody popped their head in, whatever. Okay. So I go back to doing what I'm doing. And then I go sit at this little mirror thing and I'm fixing my hair and taking my sweet time. and everybody's outside. And I feel like this like tap, tap, tap on my shoulder. And I'm like, what? And I turn around and there is nobody there. Like nobody. And I was like, totally freaked out because number one, like I'm pretty skeptical. Number two, like something clearly called my name and then tapped me on the shoulder, like literally touched me. And it felt like, you know, like a legit like tap, tap, tap. And I'm like, okay, what do you need? And there was nobody there. And I went outside just totally like weirded out. And then later I told my friend about what happened. She, you know, the bride, I didn't want to like bug her in the middle of her wedding.
I know you're about to walk down the aisle, but
really, have you ever heard of ghosts here? Like, so I mentioned it to her and she was like, oh yeah, the wedding planner said that happens all the time. And I'm like, why would you get married here? Like,
welcome to the South.
What is wrong with you? Like, yeah. So I was totally freaked out. It was just kind of like one of those weird things. I'm like, I don't know.
As like a skeptic minded person, what kind of things went through your head when you felt that?
For sure. Like there was somebody there. Like I was just like thinking of all the ways that there like had to be somebody there. Like, and then I'm looking for like all the places they could possibly be. Like, you know, like did they peek their head around the corner and tap me and then like run down the stairs? Like, were they there the whole time? Like I'm going through all the scenarios of like, how it wasn't that because I was just
like, there's no way it could have been like a little muscle spasm or something like that. It like literally felt like a touch.
It was three distinct like tap, tap, taps, almost like if someone's tapping you like, hey, hold on, excuse me, you know. And it was just very direct and it was weird.
Wow,
that is weird. And then weird that like the wedding planner was like,
it happens all the time. Okay. You know,
man. Sounds like a little prankster.
No joke.
little trickster ghost. Well, yeah, that's certainly scary. I'm surprised you maintained a 5 after that. Although, I mean, I had experiences too, and I was probably about a 5 when we started this podcast. So I get that. If you don't mind me asking, how old were you when that happened?
I was probably about 30. So, I mean, I'm like 38 now.
Okay. So you're that's interesting because your experiences weren't when you're a child, which is like what we hear so much of is like during my youth, this X, Y, and Z happened. So that has to be a little jarring when you are kind of a full-fledged adult. You already have kind of your belief system. Mm-hmm. And then out of nowhere, you've got a ghost calling your name and tapping you on the shoulder. were you able to, I know you talked to the bride, but did you have a date there? Were you able to convince anybody else that that happened, or did they kind of just shoo you aside?
I told my husband, and he did, but he's like so like skeptical, like to the core. He was just like, okay, whatever. Like he was just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Maybe, you know, maybe you just thought someone tapped you. I'm like, no, like legit, somebody like tapped me. It was like a straightforward. And he's just like, I mean, probably not, but okay. Like he's just trying to like shove it off. No, I tried to do some research on the house and I didn't really find a lot on it. It's called the McGarity House.
Okay.
Yeah. And I didn't find much. They have a website, but it's all wedding stuff. So.
Right.
Have you all watched Midnight Mass yet on Netflix?
Mm-mm.
No.
It's a new, essentially the new Haunting on Hill House. It's done by the same people. You know, they reuse the same actors and stuff. No spoilers or anything, but it's so, so, so good. Like the perfect itch for Halloween. I think it's like a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's rated, you know, all their stuff is really quality. So I recommend that for the audience if you haven't seen it. So you had that experience, and then did that pique your curiosity into the supernatural that led you to this graveyard, or were you always kind of interested?
I've always been interested, like for sure. When I was younger, I was really scared of cemetery. Like I was terrified of them, like didn't want to go into them, didn't want to go by them, like just like wanted nothing to do with it. I think, you know, honestly, I think my interest in this supernatural sort of peaked like moving to New Mexico. There's a lot of history here. There's a lot of like folklore and just like stories. And it's like, there's just like a deeply ingrained culture here where it's almost like everybody believes in the paranormal a little bit. Like, so it's just kind of one of those things where I was like, okay, like I'm a little curious now, like, you know, so I paid a little more mind, I think, than I did before.
That's kind of how I felt moving to the South. It just like, it seems like everyone here, like you are like a weirdo if you don't believe that ghost exists.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a really fascinating cultural shift for me.
Yeah, that's true, JJ. Okay. Like I have a cousin who is really more like an uncle. He's in his mid-50s, super like straight-laced conservative dude. And one day he found out about this podcast and he told me about a ghost that they have that travels from their house to like this outside basement thing they have. He's like, oh yeah, you can hear him talking down there. We named him. He pushes stuff over all the time. And I was just like, man, the South is a wild place. We really all do believe in ghosts.
I think there's something, it's something about the history ingrained in a place too. I mean, like growing up in Oregon, it's like there's history, but it's still fairly new-ish. Like, you know, it's like last 100 years, maybe. As far as like settlers coming in the Oregon Trail and all that fun stuff.
But there's definitely a lot of trauma here. No doubt about that. Not short on that. Well, so why don't you tell us what you found in the graveyard, where you went and how that all came to be?
So weird. Okay. So I took a trip to Hannibal, Missouri. I was 34 at this point. And my brother lived there for a while. He lived in Hannibal. His wife is from the area. So they bought a house and like they lived just in Hannibal, Missouri. And I kind of had some interesting like personal news in my personal life. Like I found out that my biological dad wasn't my dad. Like the dad that raised me wasn't my dad, like via a DNA test. So it was kind of a confusing time. And I was like, you know, I'm going to take a little trip to just sort of like clear my head a minute, kind of just let it be for a second. Gather myself and then I'll come back and deal with this. So I called my brother. I'm like, hey, can I buy a ticket to Hannibal? Like this time. And so I went, and Hannibal in the summer is not the most fun. It's real quiet. There's not a lot to do. It's very mellow. Hannibal's a cool town. Like there's a lot of history, but it's also kind of a dead town.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate. You can buy a mansion for like $45,000 if you want.
Wow.
It's kind of wild.
Here we go.
Yeah. I mean, it has potential if you can.
New podcasting hub, Hannibal.
There's so many there, and you're just like, how am I living my life? Like, I don't know. I could live in this amazing house in Hannibal for like nothing. Right. So I went to go visit my brother, and like we did the touristy things. We did like a riverboat cruise with like, you know, booze and cruise kind of thing, and like up and down the Mississippi. And then I'm like, dude, they have a ghost tour. We should go on that. You know, he's like, cool. I've never been. So we're just finding all the touristy things that we can do because there's not a lot to do. It's hot, it's humid. So that night we go into this little, it's like you meet downtown, you get into this little tour bus. It's like a little open air kind of trolley situation. They take you around all these little places in Hannibal and they're like, oh, this is haunted. Here's the stories. And it's kind of cool for the history too. And at the end, they're like, we're going to go up to this cemetery. And it's the old Baptist cemetery that Mark Twain writes about and like Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, all right. I didn't know that was a real place, but I guess it is.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Like, who knew? So then the tour guide is telling us that they're like, well, this was the original cemetery for the town. And it's built up on this like kind of steep hillside, probably to avoid like flooding and stuff like that. And then as the families kind of died off and the generations died off, the cemetery was sort of left. And then it kind of just became overgrown. And then people sort of forgot about it for like 40 years. So it got lost. So then people started building around the area and then they rediscovered it. And they were like, oh, we should take care of this. You know, this is history. So it's an interesting place. There's some graves in the cemetery that belong to slaves, which is kind of cool because it's like, normally they didn't get their own headstones with their name. I mean, it was like an odd anomaly. So there's a few of those in there and they gave us dowsing rods. And I am like not a fan. I think if there's a way to find a ghost, that's probably not it. I don't know. Like just my opinion.
Yeah. So I know like most of our listeners are super educated in the paranormal and supernatural, but for those who aren't,
that you hold.
Okay, great.
They look like antennas. Like they're like, it's almost like holding, I'm like people can see me, but I'm holding. Imagine holding like a mug, right? But they're antennas. So you have like a little handle and then they stick out in front of you and they're supposed to swivel like different directions or cross. And I think, and I'm not totally versed on this, but I think the idea is that they pick up on like changes in, this is where I am not great at this. It's like changes in energy or shifts in the atmosphere. Like there's something.
Aren't they supposed to find water too underground or is that something else?
No, that's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know how they do that either. Like, I don't know, but apparently it's pretty accurate.
I'm gonna Google it, y'all, and get the official definition.
Yeah, because I had never used these before.
I just typed into Google, I typed in Google dowsing rods.
Kat, you don't have to address Google by name.
Kat's trying to get us another 4-star review.
Dowsing is a type of pseudoscientific divination employed in attempts to locate groundwater, buried metals or ores, gemstones, oil, grave sites,
it's weird,
malign earth vibrations.
Malign. But what is a maligned earth vibration?
And many other
Santa listeners, anyone?
We call that Sunday night at my house. Hey.
Without the use of a scientific apparatus. So it's a rod, specifically a forked stick, commonly of hazel. And it's, yeah, mainly supposed to be useful in locating underground water.
See, I didn't realize that was the same thing as like the water sticks.
Yeah.
Like, I've like, so, you know, like I said, I moved to the South and like where I was originally, Kansas, it like, you know, at least from my point of view, it didn't seem like that many people around there believed in ghosts. But I have heard so many farmers in Kansas like swear by dowsing rods as a way to like figure out where to tap a well. So, yeah.
Well, you know, my father-in-law is a surveyor, like a land surveyor, and he says that from time to time, like in New Mexico, like the real OGs, like out in like the farm, they'll do that too. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I didn't realize that was like a scientific thing. Cool, like. They're like, here, have these dowsing rods. And like, you get to walk around in this graveyard. And like, again, like graveyards used to not be my favorite thing. I've actually kind of warmed up to them since then. But I'm like, I told my brother, I'm like, you're holding those. I'm not touching that shit. Like I wouldn't say like superstitious, but I'm like, if anything's about to go down, I am not holding those. Like, just in case, you know? Like you do it.
You want to be standing next to the person that gets cursed. Right. You know,
yeah. I'm like, take him.
The bear's chasing you through the woods. You're pushing your brother down. Like, oops, sorry.
I mean, he's little, he's short. He can run. He'll be all right. You know, I feel like he's okay.
You were the predominant one asking the questions, right? Or were,
yeah, you know? Which is, I guess, I don't know how that even makes sense. I'm like, I'll ask the questions, but you hold the rods. I don't know. So we're walking around and the tour guide did tell us beforehand. She's like, you know, you might get some information that doesn't like make sense to you right away, but it might later. And I'm just like, what the hell does that mean? Like, it, I mean, okay, like whatever, lady. And then they told us too, like historically, some of the graves, when they rediscovered this cemetery, some of the predominant people that were buried there were moved from this older cemetery into a newer one. I don't know why, but they were moved. So they moved a bunch of people down to this like newer cemetery in town. So there's a big area kind of off to the side that looked more like a field, and people used to be buried there and it's just empty now. So we're walking around, it's like dusk, it's a little bit humid, you know, you're hearing the crickets and we're asking questions and we're getting like nothing. Like we're walking around the headstones and it's just like, okay, like this is dumb. Like, and then all of a sudden, like they go one direction and I'm just like, oh, that's weird. Like, let's follow that, you know, let's do that. And so my brother's like, okay, when you want us to stop, like cross the rods. And so we're walking and it's turned to the right and we're walking and all of a sudden they cross. And I'm just like, all right, well, you know, could be a coincidence, but that's cool. Like, let's just go with this. And so we're sitting there and we're asking questions because, you know, you can only do like yes or no questions, like for yes, swing it right or left or, you know, and then, you know, you can say like, if this is true, you know, cross them. So it's right. Kind of basic with what you're working with, I guess.
Yeah.
But we start asking questions like, you know, were you a slave? No. Okay. Were you this person? Were you that? No, no. And we're like, okay, well, this is fun. finally, we're like, you know, are you male or female? It's male. We're like, okay. And we're asking different things like, how old were you? And then we get to like, were you born here? And it's like, no. And we're like, okay, well, are you an immigrant? Yes. We're like, oh, all right. So we got this dude who's like an immigrant. It's a male. Like, let's ask some countries and see if we come up with something. So we're going through all these countries, we get to Germany and it's like, yes. And we're like, all right, German, cool, weird, all right. And so I'm like joking around and I'm just like, do we remind you of someone you know? Is that why you're like talking to us? And it's like, yes. And I'm like, okay. And so we go through like family members, right? And we get to its mom and it's like, yes. And so I joke around and I'm like, did you like your mom? And it's like, no. Excuse me, what? Like, yeah. And it was funny because like, I, you know, I'm blonde hair, blue eyes, fair skinned. And that day I had my hair up in like this old timey kind of bun because it was hot outside and humid. And I'm wearing this long black like maxi dress and it kind of looked a little old timey too. And so I was like, well, that's really interesting. I remind you of your mom. You're from Germany. Okay, super weird. And I'm thinking like, this could literally just be us like filling in the blanks, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
whatever. So then I like sit there for a minute and we're just like, my brother and I are talking and I get, and this is like never happened to me and it was so weird. And it was just like the name Theodore, like in my brain, like just Theodore, like boom. Like, and I was just like, all right, was your name Theodore? And it's like, yes. And I'm just like, all right, that was super strange. I was trying to explain it to my brother because it was like, not like, it didn't feel like my own information. Like it didn't feel like it was coming from my source of knowledge. It felt like it was just like, here it is, like right in front of you. Here's my name. Like right there it is, you know?
Interesting.
Really weird. So I'm like, that's super strange. Like, I don't know how I feel about that. And then, you know, the lady's like, get back on the tour bus, time to go. So we're like, okay, cool. So I'm kind of like, well, that could have been anything, fun experience, yay for good time, you know, like just
it's
fun times. We killed some time in Missouri. right. The next day, my brother and I are hanging out. We're getting coffee. There's this little coffee shop in downtown Hannibal called Java Jive. It's in an old building and they have a bunch of local authors and magazines and stuff on the tables. You can kind of like sort through while you're waiting. And there's this one and it's like Historic Hannibal and it was like a magazine and I picked it up and I was just like thumbing through it. And I stopped on this story And it's about this family, and they were immigrants from Germany that came to Hannibal. Their youngest son's name was Theodore.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And the dad died shortly after they got to Hannibal. And the mom was a real hard ass. And she like ran a saloon to like support her family. Like she was not a nice lady.
Did she run a brothel too? Or was it just
it was a saloon? Well, rumored. I mean,
okay.
It was a saloon.
We don't want to disparage her name.
I mean, God forbid. I don't want her showing up at my house. You know what I mean? Like, no, thank you. So it was... It creeped me out because it was like, it's one thing to get all this random information and be like, okay, like, I don't know, can't verify that. But then the next day to have all of that stuff just be like, boom, 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 boom. And you're just sitting there like,
so weird.
Like, what do I do with this? You know? And so it was just so weird. And so like now I'll go take walks in cemeteries, but like, and this again is like superstition. But like when I get in my car, like doesn't matter if I'm alone or with somebody, I'm like, you can't follow me home. Like you can't come with me. You can't follow me home. You don't get to show up at my house. Like you're not welcome with me. Like, because I'm just a little bit weirded out by that whole Hannibal thing. It's just like, I don't know, man.
You're in the car. You just hear mom, mom. Yeah. You're like, no.
Mom? Nope. I was going to say the one thing too that was odd is that I looked at where they were buried because I Googled it. And it had moved. They were up in the cemetery that we had been to, and they had been moved down to the newer cemetery. And that was one of the questions we had asked, because when we were walking around in that field, we stopped at a spot that like there was nothing there. And it was in the older cemetery part where people had been moved. And then later on, I found out that family had been there, but they were moved.
Oh my!
Did you happen to save that magazine or newspaper, whatever it was?
I didn't save it. I think I probably took pictures of it on my phone. I'm sure I did somewhere. But yeah, I was like just so weirded out. I was just like,
What you said, you were like, well, what do I do with this information? That's the biggest thing. Like if we were to have one of these experiences, what do you do after that? Do you just like start living your life being like, well, there's...
They might be around.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a like... You know, it's not like, you know, when you watch a horror movie and it like this, you know, whatever kind of haunting thing happens affects the entirety of their lives. It's like just a random run in with a ghost that's like, hey, you remind me of my mom. And then like, what, you're just supposed to go back to normal after that?
Also, like, why are you hanging out in a cemetery that you used to be buried at? Like, I don't know. Is it like how did we get here? I don't know. Like, it's a weird thing to me.
We had a guest on, Devin, who I can't remember if he said this on the episode or if we were just talking, because there was another time we were just walking through a cemetery with Devin, and he was like, he's very like if the scale's 0 to 10, he is like 11.
He breaks the scale.
And he's just like, oh, ghosts don't hang out at cemeteries. Everyone's dead here. So exactly. I'm like, why is he hanging out there? Yeah.
Or maybe he knew that you and your brother were like more, like were the only people around that had been there in a while in that town that could like intercede that message. But also this affirms my feelings about ghosts just being dramatic, and they like don't really like, some of them just want to stir up drama again, or just like complain about stuff, or like grab your feet at night. Like what?
They just need like the validation. Like, hey, I'm still here.
Like, yeah. Like, hey, I lived here once, and my mom's annoying. And
yeah.
Well, maybe it's the only like the dramatic ones that we hear about. Like everyone else is just like, I'm dead. I'm like chilling. Like whatever. Because you know, otherwise, it like there would be a ridiculous amount of chaos all the time.
Oh yeah. It's wild. That was my thought too. It's like, okay, well, like, so I have this information, like, I don't know, like, what do you want from me?
Like, maybe it's like when they were alive, they have all this extra energy from all the trauma that was brought upon them that like just doesn't have a place to go after they die. So his mom must have really traumatized him.
I guess. I mean, talk about a rough time. Like your mom's running a brothel and you're just hanging out, like hoping for the best. I don't
know. An alleged brothel, Lindsay.
Alleged. That's right. I don't want that on me. So,
so when you saw the magazine story, was there like any, were there any photographs of the family?
I don't think so. There were photographs of the headstone. like in the newer cemetery, like pictures of their headstones. And then I think their old house, like wherever they lived, like the historic home that they had, but there wasn't any pictures of them. I'm sure you could find, I mean, I'm sure they're there somewhere, but.
Whose reaction was bigger, yours or your brother's?
Probably my brother, I think. Yeah, like he's like way on the spectrum of like, absolutely, ghosts are real. This proves it. Whoa. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know how I feel about all this information. Like,
that brings me to my next question, because I struggle with this, and I'm curious if this is why you feel this way too. Because you had an experience. I mean, it sounds like you were one of the few people who had an experience that was confirmed kind of through the universe. You just happened to look through this thing and it's like, well, here's why you had this experience. But yet you say you're a five. Do you feel like you're a five because to admit more would kind of break the scales of reality? Because I struggle with like my experiences. If I was just like, oh yeah, they're real, ghosts are absolutely real, then it's like, well, what else is real? What else do I have to accept? Like, how far does this go? Like, how can I live a life if all this stuff I believed forever wasn't real is now real?
I can see some of that. I definitely think too, it's like in some weird way, I feel like if I admit it out loud, that it's like opening myself up to like more of that, which I don't know that I necessarily want.
Right. It's like, then you have to commit to like, you know, I was just having this thought, this conversation in my head today, because I just feel like there's been a lot of questions in my head about like spiritual stuff. And I literally was like, oh, if I just like stop believing in all of it, it's so much easier. If I would cut it all off.
Yeah.
And let's just do that. And like, it made me feel more comfortable. And I was like, but is that the cheap way out? I don't know. It's all confusing, but I'm glad we're all here learning and talking about it. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. I'm definitely not opposed to like learning more or being like, I guess, open to experience. I just don't want anything to like sneak up on me and like scare the shit out of me. Like,
do you think we're crazy for doing a seance? Like, do you think that's something we should avoid or should we just jump right in?
I mean, I don't know. Like, what are you hoping to learn?
I don't know. I want to see like the table flip over and chairs fly around the room. I want it to be undeniable where JJ finally has to be like, fine, I'm a six. You know,
I want that too.
If it's real, then you'll probably get some evidence. If it's not real, you have nothing to worry about. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's more about like your curiosity and like satisfying that. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I could be there, guys. I think it would.
Okay, you have to be there. You're the one that's going to get the big reaction.
Ooh, it's going to be rough. I'm going to need some recovery time.
I always think about like the energy part of it. Like we're made up of energy, and like your energy doesn't just like cease to exist because your body does.
Yes.
And so that's where I'm like really like, okay, like, what do we do with that? Like, I don't know. It's a weird thing to like wrap your head around, kind of.
But I feel like some people are way more sensitive to that, like extra juju in the air. You know, I feel that. Noah feels that. JJ does not understand it at all.
I definitely think I have a little bit of, I don't want to, I hate saying it like this, cause it sounds really woo woo. And it just reminds me of like everybody in Santa Fe. I feel like I might be a little bit empathic, but I don't mean it in like a ghosty way. I just mean like I tend to pick up on people's stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I also,
which is a good thing. I mean,
I'm like hypersensitive to everything. I mean, like, you know,
you're in some good company here.
Yeah. I think it's a good trait to have, but I think it can also be a little overwhelming sometimes.
Detrimental. We were watching a nature documentary and I got like, I almost started crying about just turtles being trapped, which is very sad, but I like became the turtle and I had to just be like, stop, turn it off.
Yeah.
I can't watch any, like anything about like the Holocaust, like Holocaust movies. God. Like,
yeah, me either. That's super sad.
Not going to do it. Sorry, we jumped from turtles to the Holocaust. That was a big
jump. That was a big jump.
That's what we do at Real Hauntings. We take big jumps.
Yes, we do.
Thanks, ADHD. Jumps. Really cool of you.
We all are there too.
Yeah, that was a classic ADHD moment. This episode has kind of
been. Have you guys talked about the Holocaust lately? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I definitely do understand the overwhelming part. I think that, I mean, maybe that's why it's hard for me to admit it too, because I can't take any more overwhelming shit. Like I'm good. I'm good where I'm at. I'm good out of five.
For me, I'm like, yes, I want ghosts to exist because how amazing would that be? And I like want to see something that like jolts me into believing in that. But at the same time, like I kind of don't, because I'm sort of like comfortable with the idea that like when we die, that's it. We're gone.
No.
Like to me, that's like what makes life so like precious and valuable is that it's impermanent. And like,
that's why I make every bad decision I ever make. Cause I go, well, it's probably just over when we die. So might as well do X, Y, Z.
Yeah. But what if like eternity is really boring? And like, what if I need to start going to church again? I don't want to do that.
But does that mean like eternity is just haunting people or like following them around on ghost tours?
For those of us that were non-believers, it is.
But I feel like if you admit more, like you have to take responsibility for more too. You know what I mean? Like there's like, okay, well, if there's more to this, then like, shit.
Yeah, what, like, if there's something after this, then what is it that we're supposed to be doing
right now
in the here and now?
Podcasting.
Like, yeah.
That's right.
Talking about it. Perseverating on it.
Perseverating.
Until we get there.
Worrying every day until we die.
So obviously this is our Christmas. It's Halloween. So Lindsay, do you do anything special for Halloween?
Nothing too crazy. I mean, I have three kids. So like we do the traditional, like let's carve a pumpkin. I don't know. We made a bonfire the other night, did s'mores. Like,
that's fun.
I mean, it's mostly the family stuff at this point for me.
For sure.
You know, nothing too crazy.
Oh man, you and I are about the same age, and I have one child who's like 19 months and
oh man, it's gonna get fun for you.
I will be raging next weekend, not doing
that. I might go to bed at 9 o'clock.
I will be raging with those two in the left corner on Friday night, I believe.
Oh, yeah? Victoria's. Are we raging?
I mean, I always, I will. I only go out like twice a month.
The two of us are too old to be raging.
Oh, man.
I'm bringing Jell-O shots.
Plans to take care of.
Yeah, we do have a very needy cat.
I wish I would have had a cat before kids because I feel like it would have really prepared me better. Like, honestly. I don't know.
Very needy.
Well, the other kind of hot take we've been dealing with on our podcast with Halloween is candy corn. Are you a fan or not?
I am a fan. Huge fan.
Yes.
Wow. Love candy corn.
One vote in the Noah corner.
It's just like once you have like what you can't stop. Like
I love it. I eat it until my teeth hurt.
Mm-hmm. I have to stop after four.
I do not have problems stopping.
I'm bringing you guys bags of candy corn next week when I see you.
No.
Delicious.
It's so good.
Yeah. It is so good. Yeah, I agree.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Before we get you out of here, we definitely want to plug all your podcasts. So where can people find more of your voice if they want to hear from you?
I'm sorry. if you guys want to hear more, that's great. But if not, no, it's fine.
hard sell there.
It's really a terrible podcast. No, it's Parenting Versus Podcast. We are not experts on parenting and we are not experts on podcasting. So if that's your thing, like feel free to listen. so Apple Podcast is usually where you can find us, Stitcher, all that good stuff, pretty much wherever you find your podcast.
And if we want to learn more about your hometown, where do we find that podcast?
What's Up ABQ? Same thing. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. You can go to whatsupabq.com, I believe. Our website is under construction, so it's not great right now, but we're getting there.
Awesome. We will definitely make sure to drop some reviews on those for you, and hopefully some of our audience will find their way over there. It's funny, you were talking about your kind of Ordinary People podcast. I'm finishing a short right now that should shoot by February, and the main character in that has a podcast, and the name of the podcast is Ordinary People, and he shows everybody why the ordinary is extraordinary. So
I like it. Funny. I like it. There's good stories in there.
Yep, for sure. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And do you have any last words you want to leave for our fans before we get you out of here?
Stay spooky, always.
Awesome. Well, do you want to do the sign off with us?
I'm going to leave it to you.
Well, with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
And I'm Kat.
Ooh. All right, Lindsay.
Just made my night, you guys. Thank you.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favorite children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.